Great to see you this morning. It really is. And I love coming to the house of the Lord and always consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to come and stand here and minister his word. And thank you guys. Thank you, worship team. Did an amazing job. Go and put it together for them though, just to only just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence here today. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and to minister. We welcome you, great Spirit of God, Spirit of love, Spirit of truth, comfort of heaven. We welcome you to be here today. We welcome your ministry in our hearts. We welcome your ministry in this church. We welcome your ministry in our region and our nation today, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are alive and that you are in our midst here today. Holy Spirit, we open up our heart to you. We open up our minds. We open up our soul, every part of our being today. Lord, we choose today to open up the ears of our heart, to open up the ears of our spirit, that we would hear you, that we would allow you to come and to speak into our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you always want to speak to us, that you're always speaking. And Lord, today we pray that you would give us an ear to hear, that we would hear what you're saying. And Lord, help us to respond to you. Lord, give us the courage and the grace to respond to you today, Holy Spirit. Amen. Anaru, is that you? Good to have you here. I prayed for you last Sunday. And you're a good man. And you're a good father. And just as you're a shepherd of, this is what I prayed of you last week, but just as you're a shepherd in the natural, you've got a heart of a shepherd as well, that you, not only do you care for what you do on the farm, but actually God's going to increase, he's going to develop a care for people. You're going to have a deep love and a deep care for people. And that'll come out of an empathy of what you'll walk through. And there's going to be a lot of things that start to make sense that you may not understand it now, but there'll be things that start to make sense. And God's going to use you to be a father, not just to your own kids, but to many other children as well. Many sons will be come up, under, like many, even young men will come up underneath you. And you're a good man. I bless you. Worship your hand. I bless your relationship today. And, you know, there's going to be a suddenly happen in your life as well, that suddenly, let's have the Holy Spirit work. Suddenly things, he moves. Suddenly one day we're walking in grief and suddenly the grief is lifted. Suddenly we're strong. Suddenly there's something comes alive in our hearts. And there's going to be several suddenlies happen inside of your life as God starts to transform you. Hallelujah. I want to welcome those that are watching online this morning from where you are, wherever you are, or watching around New Zealand, or watching from home here in Hawke's Bay, watching from Australia. Really want to extend a very, very warm welcome to you today. And one of the things I have in my heart this morning, I've just been feeling the Holy Spirit speak to me and stir me, just a word in my heart that I want to start to unpack for you this morning. And I'm believing that today the Holy Spirit would burn afresh in your life. And the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit today. We need his presence. Without him, we just have a form of religion. I don't know about if you remember what Bono from U2 said. He said, religion is what you have when the Spirit has left the building. In other words, when the Spirit, when we stop entertaining the Holy Spirit, when we stop having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, what we're left with is a religious form. So we want to welcome the Holy Spirit today. We want to we want his words to come alive in our midst today. We want him to be the center of our being today. And the other day I brought out the scripture in John chapter 6 where Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing, but it's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit that gives life. A form of religion is just that. It's just an empty old shell with nothing to it. And the last thing I ever want is for this place to become a place where it's just a shell of nothing, just a shell of religion. People doing the going through some motions, but no heart, no spirit, no, the Spirit of God is not alive. And we want the Holy Spirit here, amen? Come on, are you with me this morning? This is not just emotion, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. So I want to really just open up scripture for you this morning, and then we're just going to open up and just, we really want to welcome the Holy Spirit. And how many people enjoy Passover? You enjoy Passover? I don't know. Even if you just got a lamb together and just cut into that piece of lamb and ate together, it's just fantastic. But one of the things about the Passover was this. Passover was one of three significant feasts in the scripture. So God is, he mandates us to, there are three particular feasts that we are to celebrate in perpetuity. In other words, every year we are to keep on celebrating. One of the first ones is the Feast of Passover. And one of the things we know, you may not know, but I'm going to tell you, but we are coming up to our second feast. It's interesting that you've got two short feasts, fairly well 50 days after one another. So that we're approaching another feast, so between the Feast of Passover and the next one is what's called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost. That is where the Holy Spirit, somebody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out. It was prophesied over for thousands of years and bang, one day people came together and the Holy Spirit was poured out. Suddenly the Holy Spirit came. So one of the things as we come up in a few short weeks, we're going to be celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. If you're watching online, come on, talk to somebody. Holy Spirit, we welcome the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about, we want to open up what happened here. So it says here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, they weren't just a whole bunch of individuals watching online from home. There was a whole bunch of people. They were all together in one place. Somebody say one place. Then suddenly, here it is a word, suddenly. Somebody say Saturday. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. It's like a little squeak. Absolutely no, I did not say that at all. Then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as that of a mighty or rushing and mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Somebody say, as of fire. As of fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amazing, just an amazing event that must have that has taken place. And this is where the birth of the church. And you see some very descriptive words here. They were, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place. They weren't scattered. They were all in one sound. They were all in one place physically. They were with one mind and with one spirit. And there came a sound from heaven. I love this. The mighty rushing wind. If there is ever a sound that kind of freaks me out a little bit, it is the sound of a mighty rushing wind. I don't know if you've ever been within a powerful wind, but there was something about a powerful wind when you're in there. There was a powerful wind that you could see it over in Napier the other day. You can see the water spout go up into the. There is something about the sound or of a powerful wind. It's kind of freaky but awesome at the same time. You know what I'm talking about. So when the Holy Spirit came, and he came with a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Mighty rushing wind. I can tell you right now there'll be a few people in there just checking the decibel reading, say, Holy Spirit, you're a little bit loud. I think you should have toned it down a little bit. Sound of a mighty rushing wind. I pray that today the Holy Spirit would come in that way afresh. And interesting, he says, there are two elements here. One, you see a mighty rushing wind, and then it appeared as of fire. Somebody say, as of fire. So what are the observations that people had? One of the things people could see was it was like there was a fire that came upon people's heads. It was like, and that was the best way he could describe it. It looked like it was as of fire. You'd notice it says, it doesn't say it was a fire. It says it looked like fire. It had the appearance, had everything like fire that was sitting upon their heads. It's just an incredible thing, and I'm going to kind of unpack to you here a little bit. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit has not gone. There are doctrines out in the world today that say, they talk about cessationism, where there are things that have ceased or things that are not here on the earth or alive on the earth at the moment. I want to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit has not left. The Holy Spirit came in power. The Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind. He came like a fire. He came with the appearance of fire, and he has not left. Are you with me this morning? The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the comfort of heaven, the Spirit of love, the great Holy Spirit, the comfort of heaven, the Spirit of truth, the great, holy, wonderful Holy Spirit. He has not left. He is here right now. Friends, I want to encourage you, if we are here together in one place and one sound and one body and one spirit, I want to tell you there is all the space available for the Holy Spirit to come afresh. I don't know about you, but I'm believing right now for the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, to move in our midst. If you're watching online right now, you might even feel your heart start to burn. That is the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to unpack a little bit that for you today. He is alive. The Holy Spirit is not gone, but He is alive. He is here, and He will remain working in our midst. He will remain working in the earth, working in our hearts, working in the church until the day of Christ, until Christ returns again. So anyone that wants to tell you that the Holy Spirit is not active right now, He absolutely is, but we can hunger for Him. The more we hunger for Him, the more He starts to move if we are open to Him. He will move more in our life. And I don't know about you, but when we have a hunger in our heart, when we hunger individually, when we hunger collectively for the Holy Spirit, He will come and move like you've never experienced Him before. I remember one day He turned up when I was preaching, and I was as sick as a dog. I had to sleep. I slept for 3 hours in the van going to this place. And they got me to the place in Pakistan, and I was so unwell. I was so at the end of myself that I was lying on the pastor's bed. I couldn't even get up. I tried to offload the message to Kate, but no, she wasn't going to have it. And and I was lying there, and then it was time to get up and preach. And it was down the street, and all I had was just, God help me, I ain't got nothing left. I'm done. And all of a sudden, and I get up to preach, and I could see something start to happen. And the message wasn't that good anyway, so the Holy Spirit had to really intervene. I mean, I was tired. I was at the end of myself. I said, Holy Spirit, help me here today. All of a sudden, next thing you know, you could sense in the atmosphere something was happening. And all of a sudden, this mighty, I can tell you, I'll kid you or not, a mighty rushing wind turned up. It was unforecast. No one knew. It just suddenly happened. And all I can tell you, I remember as clear as daylight, a massive storm just appeared. It just went boom. And the whole street was filled with wind. The heavens opened, the rain came, and everyone ran and bolted. So did I. That's it, done, go home. The Holy Spirit came, He came to rescue me. So the Holy Spirit, interesting, it says he came as a wind, but it came like a fire. Let me say, He is not a fire and He is not a wind, but He is like those. He comes in the appearance of that. He is a person. He is the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. So He is a person. He's not a thing. He is not an it. He is a person. He has feelings. He can draw near. He can withdraw. But He is always present. The Holy Spirit is the life of God. And I'm believing again for this day and the season that we're coming into that we would have a fresh encounter of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit does not come just to give people goosebumps. He comes. He has been mandated by God the Father. He has come. He has been. He was part of the redemption of the earth and mankind. So He is part of the eternal plan of God. He is He's an administrator of heaven. He reveals what God is like. Jesus came to reveal, but the Holy Spirit has another aspect of what God the Father is like. So one of the things that Jesus said, I've got to go. I'm going to send back into the heavens. I'm sending back at the right hand of the Father. But I will send the Holy Spirit to work with you. I will send the Holy Spirit as a comfort. I will send the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will work in your heart. So the Holy Spirit came with a mandate from heaven. That mandate still exists. That mandate has not changed. That mandate of the Holy Spirit is still alive. It is still relevant in our life today. It is still relevant in the earth today. So here's one of the there's a few mandates of the Holy Spirit, and I'm only going to open up one today. All right. One of the mandates of the Holy Spirit was this. One. All right? There's others, but I'm only going to focus on one today. One of the mandates of the Holy Spirit is this. Is to prepare the church for the second coming of Christ. Come on, give me an amen here this morning. It is to prepare the church for the second coming of Christ. And it's important we understand this revelation. It is to prepare the church for the second coming of Christ. When I say the church, what I mean is this. The church individually, I am the church. So for a lot of people, I mean, I see it out on social media, people can bag the church collectively, but the bottom line is this: I am the church. My heart, my the very essence of who I am, Jesus does not live in buildings. He comes to live in us individually and collectively, right? So you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the house of God. You are the church. So one of the things I want to encourage you is this. If you hear people bagging the church, it's kind of a pathetic kind of argument. The bottom line is you should be starting to critique yourself. The bottom line is this. I am the church. So one, the Holy Spirit has come to work in my heart. Personalize it. He's come to work in my heart to prepare me for the second coming of Christ. He has come to work in my life, to shape my life, to prepare my life, to prepare my spirit, to prepare my heart for the second coming of Christ. Not just so people can, I mean, it's wonderful people fall down and get touched and shake and under the glory, but there's a greater and bigger purpose for all of this. Right? And if we get short-sighted, if we are myopic, we will miss out on the ultimate mandate of the Holy Spirit is to prepare us individually, us, me. The Holy Spirit's working in my heart to prepare me for the second coming of Christ. It's also a collective thing. So where the Holy Spirit works individually, but he also works in us as a body. So you can't, although they are two separate, they're also one and the same. And so I don't believe you can separate. I don't believe that you can separate the work of Christ in us individually from the work of Christ within us collectively. So the Holy Spirit is working in all of us, right? Holy Spirit's always, he's working. When Jesus comes, he will return for his church. So when you've got people out there that got an issue with church and it's kind of saying, well, I'm not part of the church, I'm part of the kingdom, absolutely, I can tell you right now, there's a deception right there because Jesus is coming back for his church. You can't just go and sit off and have church by yourself somewhere and think that Christ is... No, that's an illusion. That's not good doctrine. It's not sound doctrine. There's something about the coming together as the body. There's something about the congregation that we come together as a family, as a tribe, where actually we grow together. We grow individually, but we grow collectively as well. So the Holy Spirit works in us and prepares us as individually and also collectively. The second coming of Christ is an event that will happen. Sometimes this is a message that's kind of been void from many parts of churches. Right? See, it may take a little bit to get into it, but it's all good. The second of Christ is an event that will happen. We know it in here, but it's another thing to know it in here. It's one thing to know it in here, but it's another thing to align our life to this event. The second of Christ is a coming of Christ. Christ came once, he will come again. It is an event that will be the beginning of a new age of living, a dimension of life that has always existed but will be revealed. Are you following me this morning?
Yes.
It is a dimension of life. It's not necessarily a new dimension. It'll be new for some people, but it is a dimension of life that is already present, that is already active, but it will be revealed. There will come a day where the life that we know, the life that we experience, the natural life, will all of a sudden change in the blink of an eye. Our life will shift into a new dimension. I mean, the really simple explanation could be this. I don't know, most of us, we live our life on the land, right? When you go into the water, when you go into the sea, one of the things you'll discover, if you go diving, you go down, one of the things you'll discover is a whole new dimension of life that, for you, it's new, but it's always been there. You just haven't been in there before. When you're immersed in it, you start to discover a whole new sense of life. You see new dynamics, new things. And it's the same with the realm of the kingdom. You'll find that this realm of the kingdom has always been here. It's just yet we are to be immersed in it fully. It's always here. It's yet to be revealed to us. But it will happen. Somebody say next to person next to you, it will come. It will come. Here's the thing. For many, it's going to be an absolute shock. For many people, it will be a shock. But for many people, they would have been prepared and it will be expected, so it would be probably more rather a pleasant surprise. People come to church thinking church is just about singing clappy songs and being nice. And No. It's that, but it's way much more. It is much more than that. One of the things that we see in Scripture, one of the things that we see in that moved the hearts of men and women was not just about building big churches or building flash things there was a much bigger goal. There was a much longer term objective. And this is one of the things I want to encourage us this morning. The end goal for us, somebody say the end goal. The end goal is this, is that we wait and with anticipation for the second coming of Christ. This is the end goal. The end goal, you come to church and ask the question, what's the ultimate goal of all this? I can tell you the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal was this, is that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, works in our lives, and we create an atmosphere, we respond to His word, we respond to His promptings, we respond and we prepare our hearts. In other words, Jesus is coming back for a bride that was without spot or wrinkle. So in other words, He works in our lives to purify us, so that when Christ returns, you and I are then coming to enter into a new dimension of living. This is a revelation that I pray that everyone in the church gets, because it's going to happen. The bottom line is, will we be prepared for it or will we not? See, the thing is, if our end goal in life, if our end goal as a Christian is just to escape hell, then our life will be lived a certain way. If my end goal was as a pastor is just to get X amount of people to the church, to attending, if my end goal is about getting bums on seats on a Sunday, if that's what I thought, if that was the end goal to me, it would change a lot of what I do. Interesting, one of the things I was at a pastor's conference a little while ago, and that was one of the questions that came. At the end of the day, will it put more bums on seats? That was one of the questions a pastor asked. I thought, oh my God, that's not really the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is this, is that your life and my life and our lives together would be shaped, would have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. One of the agendas, one of the mandates of the Holy Spirit is to work in us and to purify us, so that when we enter out of this life and come into the next life, you and I will enter into a whole new dimension of life that has rewards and it has consequences and it has benefits. We don't just, I don't know where people get the idea that when this life ends, we walk into a place where everyone's playing harps and is nice to one another. It's an old wives' tale, that one. It's not true. It's not true. I'll prove it to you. We're going to prove it over the next little while. Because I want to spend the next few weeks just ministering on the Holy Spirit. So the end goal is to prepare the church for the second coming of Christ. Many people have differing ideas of what the end goal is. The end goal has to line up with what Christ taught. Not our opinions, our ideologies, but what Jesus preached and demonstrated, the kingdom of God. A coming kingdom, a kingdom that will have an impact and an influence on the world and the natural, but also in the age to come as well. Interesting, the guy, he talks about when people thought back then in the scripture and still think today that the kingdom was about systems and structures of the world, but it is true to a great degree. The main emphasis was and still is the transformation of our heart, and secondly, the restoration of man and the earth back to God. The Holy Spirit's mandate is to restore man, restore our hearts, but also to restore the earth back to its former glory. It's not just about coming to church and singing songs. It's much more than that. It's the Holy Spirit working in our midst. The kingdom was not only of the unseen. Here's the thing. A lot of people can talk to, there's trains of thought that the kingdom is only about the matters of the heart and matters of the spirit. That's a half-truth. Yes, it is. It's about the matters of our heart. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom, you can't see it with your own eyes, but there was an outworking of the kingdom of God. In other words, the kingdom of God is, yes, it's in our heart, but there is an outworking of that. Jesus said, and how he taught us to pray, he said, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, the things of the kingdom, yes, they're a part of our heart, but yes, there's also an outworking, a manifestation in the restoration of the world and all things back to Christ. First place to work, first place is to get our heart and have our own hearts and our own internal life lined back with the kingdom. Jesus said, and interesting, in John chapter 18, verse 36, he said, Jesus answered to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. In other words, here's another way of saying it. Jesus answered, my kingship does not derive its authority from this world's order of things. If it did, my men would have fought to keep me from being arrested. But my kingship does not come from here. In other words, the kingship or the realm of God's authority or Jesus' authority does not come from a man-made structure. In other words, we can't build something with our hands. It has to come divinely from God. So one of the things, so Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. He talked about when Jesus claimed his kingdom was not of this world. He meant that his kingdom would not originate from the world system, but it would still, but it would come and restore the world unto God. So not of this world, it is certainly, most certainly in this world. But most importantly, it's in our heart. So one of the things we see when the Holy Spirit came, there was a fire. People saw fire. Somebody say fire. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, there was a sound of the mighty rushing wind and the likeness of fire that was upon people's head. There was something about fire. And here's the thing. In Luke chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, John foresaw this and he said, now as the people were in expectation, somebody say expectation. The people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. John answered, saying to everyone, and I indeed baptize you with water, but the one who is mightier than I is coming, and whose strap I'm not worthy to loose, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Somebody say fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit of fire. So one of the things John sees is there's somebody that is going to come who will baptize you, who will immerse you in the Holy Spirit and fire. So the Holy Spirit and fire, the Holy Spirit is not a fire, but he comes like a fire. Another translation says this, I can only baptize you in this river, but he will baptize you in the spirit of holiness into his raging fire. And his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff we will burn with an unquenchable fire. One of the things we see here is this. Throughout Scripture, we see many references to the word fire. Some are physical and some are metaphorical. I mean, you can go through them yourself and have a look, but you can see the pillar of fire by night. You can also see the pillar of fire, the fire on the altar. You can see that cities were burned with fires. You can also see that people were cast into the fire. So one of the things we see whenever you look through the Scripture, whenever you see the Holy Spirit, there's always the imagery of fire associated with it. Somebody say fire. Fire, 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 fire. It's fire. I love fires. And so one of the things we've got to see, we've got to understand is that he is not a fire, but he uses fire. He comes like a fire. Interesting, last Sunday, we read in the Scripture that God's people were powerless and under oppression because there was no blacksmith. Right? There was no blacksmith, no one there to forge weapons. And interesting, one of the things when you look prophetically is this, is that the main element that a blacksmith uses is what? Fire. So one of the things we see in last Sunday's Scripture that God's people were powerless because there was no blacksmith. What is a blacksmith? A blacksmith has two elements that he uses. One, he has fire. The second thing he has is a hammer. So that tells us there's a prophetic picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a fire. The Holy Spirit is like a blacksmith. The Holy Spirit is like a blacksmith that uses two elements. He uses, one, the fire. But two, he also uses the hammer. The Bible says that the word of God is like a hammer. So there's two things, two tools that the Holy Spirit, it's not entirely I mean, obviously more than two tools that he used, but there's two primary tools that he used. One is the word of God to bring truth. He is the spirit of truth that brings truth into our life. There is the truth that sets people free, but he also brings a fire. He also uses fire. What does the blacksmith do with the fire? How does he use it? Come on, how does he use it? He heats the metal. The way a blacksmith works is he works with the metal and he heats the metal up and he shapes the metal. And what does the heat do? It softens it. But what else does it do? It brings it to the surface. So one of the things that you see is this. The fire that a blacksmith uses is a refining fire. In other words, he creates an environment of heat, puts the metal into the heat, and he does this over a process of time. So he may do it 12 times. He doesn't just do it once. But you'll find that the blacksmith will put steel. I watched this YouTube clip the other day on it. And Pete, this blacksmith, he got an old rusty chain, a dirty old rusty chain, and it literally got it out of a dump, been left just to rust. And he got this chain, and he started to melt it down, and he started to work with it. He started to heat it, started to stretch it out, started to put it into more heat again, started to hammer it with a hammer again. He started to work on it. And then over time, you see the process of this old chunk of chain started to transform. Put it into the fire, beat it again. Put it into the fire, beat it again. Put it into the fire, he beat it again. He put it into the fire, beat it again. And you see all of a sudden this old rusty chain that was left to dump, left to rust, started to take on a whole new form. You can see stuff start to come to the surface. As he hit it, things started to shatter off. And all of a sudden, this thing started to change shape. And the end product was this. The end product was a beautiful katana sword. That is like the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he is like a fire. He comes like a fire. Many of us love the niceness of the Holy Spirit. I mean, make us feel good. But actually the work of the Holy Spirit is also the spirit of truth. He is also a spirit of love. He comes, he refines our life out of a spirit of love. So here's the thing. It's wonderful to hunger for the things of the Spirit. But one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he creates environments of heat for things in our life to surface. And he also uses the Word of God to come and to shape our life. He doesn't do this out of hate. I don't know about you, but I've been in some environments where, and some spaces, and there's some times in my life where they're pretty uncomfortable. How many know what I'm talking about? You feel the heat. There are different ways that this heat can come into our life. Many times we're faced with circumstances. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe, in fact, often it's in relationships. Probably 99% of the time it's to do with relationships. I mean, you're not going to sit there, you could sit there in isolation for your life, and probably you may not have things come up because there's no one there to help cultivate them. The Holy Spirit works through people. The Holy Spirit will use relationships. He'll use circumstances. Sometimes it's times of loss. Sometimes it's times of grieving. Sometimes it's times of betrayal. Sometimes it's moments of rejection. Sometimes it's moments of things that make you uncomfortable. I want to tell you this, when the Holy Spirit comes, sometimes he comes like a gentle breeze and a beautiful fragrance. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes in a way that you just want to cry. But sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes like a fire to refine our lives. And this is the ministry. Well, this is one of the mandates of the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts for the second coming of Christ. Because what he does is this, he forges our character. He forges, here's a couple of things. He purifies our life. It produces righteousness. So one of the ways people think, oh, my heart's okay. There's nothing wrong with my heart. It's fine. I've been saved. I've been healed. I've been set free. Well, sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit to bring us through a difficult situation. And all of a sudden, things start to come up out of our heart. There is something about heat that brings things to the surface. There's something about heat. There's something about accountability. You know, I don't know about you, but anyone like accountability? No, it's not always comfortable. Having somebody to speak into your life. Why? It brings truth. It brings sometimes accountability. In fact, a lot of the times, accountability will bring heat into your life. Sometimes it's the pain that we walk through. Sometimes, like I said, it's the pain of loss, the pain of rejection, the pain of things happening in our relationship, the pain of... Sometimes it's in our finances where all of a sudden we find ourselves into financial trouble. We're praying for God to help us, but actually the Lord's saying, I am trying to help you. I'm just not trying to make it all go away. And what I'm trying to do is create heat so you can face the things in your life that you've been avoiding, the things in your heart that have been buried deep. Maybe things in your marriage that are taking place. God, help me, save my marriage, save my relationship. Oh, no, wait a little bit. Actually, just keep a little bit of heat on to see what comes up. And it's not out of vindictiveness. It's out of a spirit of love. Why? Because he wants to purify our hearts for the second coming of Christ. Because when you and I enter into the when you and I enter and experience the second coming of Christ, all these things that we've allowed Christ, the Holy Spirit, to work in our hearts will then become revealed. See, for us as Christians, if we walk and live our life with no eternal perspective, with no anticipation, here's the thing. For some people, the perspective of their life is just to get past the gate of heaven and in the door. So it doesn't really matter how I live because I live under the grace. Yes, you do. However, there's an element of the Holy Spirit is that you're not just going to step into heaven and all of a sudden you're going to be rewarded for just living your life according to how you wanted to live your life. You came to church, you did some things. That's wonderful. But the bottom line is this. Over here, there's going to be an eternal reward. And that reward is not given because you just came to church. No. When you enter into a whole new age, when our lives pass into glory, a whole new, when Christ comes again, a new age of living will be released onto the earth. That is what we need to be looking for. That is what we need to be living our lives for. Here's a number of people, many Christians today, we live our life just so we can get to the end. Maybe just so I've got enough money to get to retirement. I want to just live my life just so things are happy. I just want happiness out of my life. Let me tell you this, that's a beautiful sounding thing. I'm just walking my life just because God wants to bless me. That's a wonderful thing. But there's a much deeper call. There's a much deeper purpose for your life. There's a much deeper purpose for our life. And that is in the age to come when you and I step out and when Christ comes again. See, friends, you and I are an eternal being. But yet most of the time, many times, in fact, many churches, they preach a message that is only applicable to this life. 7 keys to success, 7 keys to walk into financial blessing, 7 keys to heal your marriage, how to discover your purpose in life. Eh? See, if that is the point of reference for your life, the issue will be the moment that you step into an eternity, all of a sudden you'll discover there's going to be a whole new world. And that is the calling for us as a church. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is not here just to make our lives tickly and beautiful. We will experience and I enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the mandate, one of the core mandates of the Holy Spirit is to work in my heart, to shape my character, to forge my spirit, to forge strength into my being. To bring healing into my heart so that I walk in righteousness, so that I walk purely. So when the day comes, when I step into an eternity, there will be a good and faithful servant enter into the rewards of heaven. Friend, how much would your life change? How much would our church change if every one of us lived with that perspective, that it was more than getting people to the church, that it was more than having a good, beautiful and peaceful life. My life was much more than that. My life lives for an eternity. I will step into an eternity. And at that moment, everything else will come into a whole new different perspective. See, this fire purifies our heart. It produces righteousness. It develops strength of spirit. One of the reasons why many Christians, and I can tell you right now, the way the age of the world is going, there's a day when you will need to be strong in spirit. There'll be a day that you need to be strong in the internal life. Comes a day that you will need to be whole on the inside. Why? Because that is where your spiritual strength will come from. God has called us to walk in authority on this earth. You can't do that unless you have dominion over your own life first. That's one of the reasons why I did the finance course. Because the way that you handle money, the Bible says, is directly connected to true rewards or true eternal rewards. So this is good for have heat when it comes onto finances. This is good to have, if there's issues going on in your relationship right now, that is beautiful. That tells me this, that somewhere the Holy Spirit is working. It tells me this, that the Holy Spirit loves you enough to work into your life, to surface things. He loves you enough to put heat inside of you, to bring to the surface things that are going on. Why? Because he loves you and he's got a great and bigger purpose for your life. He's wanting to forge something on your life. Now, the thing is this, when people start to get upset or start to get offended, if you're offended, that's great. That's a beautiful thing. It tells me somewhere that the Holy Spirit is trying to surface something inside of your heart. Why? So we can deal with it and become stronger and become more whole in your heart. Not quite sure about that one. I can tell you right now, it's the heat. I'm grateful for the heat that's come on my life and still the heat to come. Why? Because if I see it, is that God loves me so much that he sent his Holy Spirit to work inside of my heart, to bring to the surface my rejection, my fear, my insecurity, my shame, my uncleanness. He loves me that much because he's got so much more for me in eternity. Surfaces my grief. Puts me in situations where I have to face things that I've avoided. It's one thing from run to church to church to church to church, but the bottom line is this. That's a beautiful thing. I'm happy for you. But could it be that you're running from God? The Holy Spirit is wanting to do a work inside of your life. The very fact that there's conflict around my life anywhere, surely that must be an indicator that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do something inside of my heart. Somewhere the Holy Spirit is wanting to make me stronger. Somewhere the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring healing into my life. Somewhere the Holy Spirit is wanting to forge my character because he has something greater ahead for me. He has something greater ahead for you today. What is he preparing us for? When we step into an eternity, we will discover that there are consequences, an eternal impact directly connected to how we have responded, to how we have lived, led by the Spirit into truth and righteousness. That's a painful thing, because most of us would like the Holy Spirit just to come and, I get that, I love that. I mean, I just cry in the presence of God, but it's the harder one to do is, I feel like running. I feel angry. I feel upset. I'm facing things that I thought are buried in my life. I'm facing things that I thought were gone. Yeah, that's the work of the Holy Spirit too. Having to have conversations, difficult conversations, conversations that I've avoided, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I can assure you right now, it's happened to me and it's going to continue to happen to me. The question is, will I be willing to allow the Holy Spirit, the great blacksmith of heaven, to keep putting me into the fire, bringing me out? That he would take this old piece of chain, love it enough to shape it back into something beautiful and priceless. Don't curse your crisis. If you're going through a crisis right now, don't curse it. If you're going through a financial crisis, if you're going through a relationship crisis, don't shake your fist at God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? How many people know what I'm talking about? Here's a good response. Holy Spirit, I'm not really sure, I don't fully understand. But here's one thing I understand, Holy Spirit, that you love me enough to forge this into my life. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can see, as the blacksmith, you can see the beautiful sword, the beautiful weapon, the beautiful work of art that you're forging me into. I can't see it right now. Help me, Lord, to see this. Help me to stay in the fire. Help me. Let me assure you this, when the Holy Spirit really moves, there's going to be a whole pile of junk that comes to the surface. If you're grieving over something right now, if you're struggling with something right now, if you're angry with the church, if you're angry with me, if you're angry, I don't know, just angry at something, angry at your dog, your chicken, whatever. Just... could it be that the Holy Spirit is wanting to work inside of your life? For me, I want to pray that God will give me the strength to stay in the fire, to allow His truth to shape my work, to shape my heart, to allow the voices that God has placed in my life to speak into me. So the Holy Spirit will speak through anything. He will speak through a donkey. He will speak through your wife. He'll speak through your husband. He'll speak through your pastor. He'll speak through your boss. He will speak through somebody. He'll just speak. That's why we've got to have a heart to hear. When we step into eternity, we will discover that there are consequences, an eternal impact directly connected to how we responded. That kingdom that has been forged and built and invested into our heart will be revealed for all to see, and we'll have rewards accordingly. Look at this. It's my dad's book. One of them. One of 35. This one, Eternal Rewards, Mike Connell. If you honestly want to understand more about what's ahead, that church is more than just coming together and singing some good songs and listening to some messages, good messages. But actually, it's far bigger than that. There's, the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts because there are eternal rewards. Here's a question for you. Where, I don't even know you haven't had to ask this question, but where is your perspective in life? Are you living just for the day? If you like if is your faith in Christ just helping you get to through the week so you have a good day and you have a good life and, you know, things are like ice cream every day and things like that? Or is your perspective on life beyond your natural life and an eternity, It doesn't, the bottom line is this, your life is eternal. If we live our life individually and as collectively, with an eternal perspective, that in eternity there are rewards, in eternity there'll be an age to come, there'll be a kingdom that'll be all of a sudden become visible in this earth today. There'll be a new kingdom, a new authority that is established on this earth with Jesus Christ at the head of it. And that day, you want to be looking back and saying, I'm so glad I stayed under the hammer. I'm so glad I stayed into the heat. I'm so glad I allowed my heart to be forged. I'm so glad I didn't just go to the courses and get information, but I allowed the Spirit to work in my heart to bring to the surface. I allowed the Holy Spirit to touch the parts of my heart that were hurting. I allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through this person. I allowed the Holy Spirit to forge strength inside of my life. I allowed it. I didn't run. I didn't quit. Even when it got hard, I'm so glad because now when I look back, I've entered into a whole new dimension of life. Pastor Mike, how can people get the book?
Amazon, Kindle, or paper.
All of this was 12 weeks of family devotions, teaching on eternal rewards. Because I can tell you right now,
when your perspective is on the second coming of Christ in the age to come, it will put a whole new spin on what you're going through right now. The pain that you're going through, the discomfort that you're working through, the forging of your character, all of that will take on a whole new perspective. And on that day, we'll either enter into the joy of the Lord or there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it all comes back to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts right now. So how should I respond? Here's the thing. What's your end goal in life? Because this will change everything. If your end goal in life is just to be happy, yeah, okay, it's nice, but it's not going to help you in eternity. Many people react, get upset, and often rebel when the fire comes and under pressure. When the Holy Spirit moves, things in our heart will surface. Here's the thing, choose to respond in humility, love, and repentance. I love, and just finishing this, what 1 Peter 1 verse 6 says. In this you rejoice greatly, that even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is worth much more than precious gold, which is perishable, even though the testing and purified by fire, I love this, that you may be found to result, may be found to result in your praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, the distress that you're walking through, I mean, it's distress caused by stupid decisions. There's distress caused by the Holy Spirit's working in your heart. You go through trials, you go through difficulties, because it tests your faith. And the testing of our faith is worth more than all the gold in the world. And just that last line again, I'll read it. That you may be found to result in your praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. So here it is. The second coming of Christ. He will give honor and praise and glory to you because of the genuineness of your faith. Not just because of your good intentions, but because you allowed His Holy Spirit to work and to shape your life. Amen. Why don't you just close your eyes? Holy Spirit, why don't you stand to your feet? Come on, let's just stand and welcome the Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands and open up your heart. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. We welcome your presence today, Holy Spirit. We welcome your great Spirit of God, Spirit of love, Spirit of truth, Spirit of comfort. Wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome. Just even if you're watching online, just open up your heart, just lift your hands. Don't just stare at the screen. Holy Spirit, would you move in our midst today? Would you move in our midst today, Holy Spirit? We welcome you to come into every part of our heart. We welcome you to come into our relationships. We welcome you to come to minister and to have your way. We welcome you to come and to revive us today, Holy Spirit. Well, we don't always understand what you're doing, but we understand this, that you love us enough to work in our heart, to forge our character, to forge righteousness in us. You love us enough to intervene in our situations. You love us enough, Holy Spirit. You believe in us enough to surface the things that we're hiding. You love us enough to work in us and to purify our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome your ministry afresh in this church. We welcome your ministry afresh in our hearts today, Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that you'd even strengthen your people today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that this moment, that our eyes, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding would be open. to the great eternity that's in front of us, to the great rewards, to the consequences, to the age to come, Father. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up our eyes, that you would open up our understanding, that we would set our life direction, our life course to that mark. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that your desire is to use us in this earth. Your desire is to work through us, to minister through us today, Holy Spirit, and to this community, and to this nation. Lord, we want to be vessels that are pure before you. Even as David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. I want to invite you here. We're just going to close right now. But if you know that this morning, if you, even right now, you feel the Holy Spirit, you just want to just come and respond to him. Maybe he's talking to you about, maybe he's surfacing something right now. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that. But I'd love for you just to respond to the ministry of the Holy Spirit today. If you make a decision today, say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand what I'm going through now, but what I'm going to do, Holy Spirit, is I'm going to respond to you. I'm going to respond with humility. I'm going to respond with just love. I'm going to respond to you today, Holy Spirit. I want you, Holy Spirit, I want you to come to work more in my life. I want you to shape me. I want you to mold me today, Holy Spirit. I want your fire. I want your refiner's fire to shape my spirit, to shape my character, to strengthen me, to heal me, O Lord, to make me strong. If it is you this morning, just as we sing, I'd love for you just to come to the front right now. Come to the front and let's open up our hearts. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit afresh in our midst.